Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be beautiful. Just a perfect Wisconsin end of the week before maybe we'll see some slight changes in the weather over the weekend. I haven't really looked in detail. I'm living for the moment, and it's a great one. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, joined by Congressman Mark Pocan, and we talked a little bit about the election matchup for governor. We're going to get into the Inflation Reduction Act. I would be remiss if I didn't touch on one more thing about the November matchups with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes going up against Ron Johnson. You obviously know them both, so there, you know, there's personal qualities about each of them that I'm sure you can share. From the standpoint of Mandela Barnes, what is it that you think people outside your area in southern Wisconsin are going to learn about him over the next 90 days?
Very impressive, charismatic, bright person. When he ran for lieutenant governor, I was one of the first people to endorse him because I knew him as a legislator, and very qualified and ready to be an effective U.S. senator. Ron Johnson, on the other hand, curious what planet he originally came from. You know, this is a guy who is the most confidently, arrogantly confident person about his lack of information I've ever seen.
If I've learned nothing over the years, it's that, you know, money buys a lot of arrogance. You really get that in bulk at a certain point.
I'll tell you my favorite, very quick story, if I can. He had a meeting in his office at a time Wisconsin was having a problem getting rail cars for agricultural products to leave to coal to power plants and to get paper out from some of the paper plants because we have the perfect shape frac sand. They were taking up all the rail cars. He had a special meeting in his office, and I was the only person who showed up at the meeting. He invited the whole congressional delegation, and I thought it was to try to get more rail cars. He was actually there arguing on behalf of the railroad barons, not the very industries in Wisconsin that needed access. And it's just an example of how out of touch he is.
You know, another example that we're going to talk about later in the show that we posted on UpNorthNewsWI.com last night is how rural Wisconsin, well, all of Wisconsin has had real setbacks with the U.S. Postal Service, the delays and the cutbacks. And we remind people that it was in late 2020 that Ron Johnson convened a hearing specifically to defend Louis DeJoy, Trump's Postmaster General, and to say, we don't need to get the Postal Service out from underneath their artificial financial burden. We need to roll back overtime pay for carriers. You know, so that is completely in keeping with what I think people are going to be hearing about the senator throughout the 3 months here.
And don't forget his response when 1,000 jobs building electric vehicles for the Postal Service were supposed to happen in the Fox Valley area. Instead, they went to a non-union state in South Carolina by Oshkosh Corporation. He said, well, we already have a lot of jobs here in Wisconsin. I don't think I've ever heard any elected official say we have too many jobs in our state.
No. In fact, people still do need, a government that is functional, and that is being proven in the Inflation Reduction Act, which has many different pieces. So we'll get to as many as we can here in our 10-minute visit here. I'll get to what you like best about it in the moment, but let's start from a Wisconsin impact as you're talking to people about this legislative package. What do you think about, what do you see in it that is going to have some real Wisconsin impact for us?
Sure. A couple areas. So first of all, I mean, we have worldwide inflation. The fact that we're able to try to do something to reduce energy costs and healthcare costs is important, and it's going to get done tomorrow. I'm flying to DC today to make sure we get that vote done. I think the out-of-pocket costs for seniors on prescription drugs being capped at $2,000 and the ability for Medicare to negotiate for prescription drug prices. It's amazing that we never had that. We didn't use our volume buying. We've been paying more than any other country for prescription drugs. That alone is going to have a huge, huge impact on the average person, especially the average retiree. And then the second part of it, Pat, is the climate change stuff, reducing our emissions by 40% by 2030 and creating the jobs here in the United States for alternative forms of energy are going to create jobs right here in Wisconsin that will get people working with good family supporting wages. And I guess the cherry on top of this or the dessert with this meal is that we're having it paid for by people who've often found ways to find every loophole in the tax code not to pay their taxes, corporations that haven't even paid a minimum of 15% and going after some of the other wealthy folks who've evaded what we pay in taxes. I think that combination plus other issues are going to make this very powerful in reducing energy costs and reducing healthcare costs for people.
And is there anything else that you, I asked you first about Wisconsin impact. I'm guessing that the climate provisions are the things that you personally really like. Any other matters there that you look at that and think, boy, am I glad that that made the final cut?
I'll tell you, I mean, it's really general areas. I mean, the energy and healthcare are the strongest on it. I mean, there are some other areas, but, you know, a lot of these things were in Build Back Better, right? And then they took the things that were best able to help reduce inflation and best able to get through bluntly to Democratic senators that sometimes can be a problem. But, you know, we've had no lifting from the Republicans on any of the bills we've got done. Last year, the American Rescue Plan that got money into pockets, people's pockets, shots into arms, kids back into school safely, people into jobs. Then in last year, at the end of the year, we did the infrastructure bill. It's going to create 1.5 million jobs around the country and put in 500,000 electric charging stations across the country. That is significant overall. And then this bill, I mean, any one session I've been in Congress, any one of these bills would have been the crowning, you know, item that we got done. Now we've got three of them done this session alone.
And that, you know, that, and there was, you know, gun safety measures and plenty of other things where actually President Biden has you know, racked up such an impressive list. And yet the narrative has always been, well, the Democrats wanted 100 things in the bill and they only got these, you know, however many. So it wasn't 100% of what they wanted. So somewhere they must have fallen short. And I mean, we can preach to the choir all day about the silliness of that. But I will say, before we leave that notion of what didn't get in the bill, I would have to ask, what one thing didn't make it that if you could put it back in, you would? Was there one of them that you just thought was really frustrating?
Without question, the child care provisions that you could be capped at 7% of your income going to child care. We've been told by business leaders in the state the number one thing holding people back from getting a job is the cost of child care. And you could save the average family making $100,000 as a combined income with a child, a three-year-old child in child care, about $8,600 a year. It's significant.
We're talking to Congressman Mark Pocan before he heads to Washington to give final passage to the Inflation Reduction Act, which you know, it is going to build back better, even if that's not in the title of the bill anymore. But you know, people don't always like to hear other people like me talk about the process of something. But frankly, when the process of something is what's getting in the way, it's worth talking about. And in this case, I'm referring to the filibuster, something you don't have to deal with in the House of Representatives, and frankly, something senators shouldn't have to deal with. It's an artificial right. construct, but it's there. When Dan Schaefer wrote his really great article on Mandela Barnes in the New York Times yesterday, he noted how, you know, Mandela's putting filibuster reform, you know, front and center because people are understanding that is what is keeping so many good things from happening. Do you agree that that's that putting the filibuster on trial is useful, or like a lot of the consultants, well, they say, you know, don't waste your time on talking about that?
Yeah, so there's a reason I didn't run for the U.S. Senate, to be blunt, Pat. And part of that is they still follow rules that were designed when people wore powdered white wigs to work. We don't do that, although people still in Congress do wear wigs, just a different kind of wig. The bottom line is, you know, it has changed over time, the filibuster. It was not part of when the country was created. It was added later because there was no way to stop debate in the Senate. And it changed over the years and was used quite against good public policy, especially in Jim Crow laws and those issues in that time period. Right now, it is completely blocking the Senate from being able to work. Any other body, whether it be the state legislative body that we served in, Congress, any local government, a majority simply would rule. But in the Senate, you have to get to this, for whatever reason, 60 vote margin out of 100 to get many things done. Well, it's rare you're going to have one party in control of 60 votes. And right now, when the Republicans refuse to work with you on almost anything, something like, think about it, only 7 Republicans were willing to cap the cost of insulin at $35 when 100 years ago, almost, is when the patent originally came out. And Big Pharma has figured out how to game the system and rip off consumers all this time. That's because we have some rules that we need to be changing. And we're not wearing the white powdered wigs. We don't need the filibuster anymore. And it is beyond logic why we continue to have it in place.
In your case, in the House of Representatives, you're looking at Democrats who have control narrowly, would like to hold it, if not build on it. And right next door to you is one of the districts that will truly decide that, the 3rd Congressional District in Western and parts of Central Wisconsin. And you have not been shy at all about discussing, you know, the dangers of the presumptive Republican nominee. But I want to start first by tipping my cap for making sure that people understood that after the primary, with Brad Paff emerging from that 4-candidate field, that you have a group of Democrats that, you know, are united and ready to go ahead, which, by the way, is not the easiest thing to do. On my Facebook memories today, came up from 4 years ago today, was when my good friend Dana Walks got out of the gubernatorial primary. It was clear, you know, Tony Evers had the support. And so we, you know, got behind him. There was an event in Eau Claire, but that's still not the easiest day. And it wasn't an easy day for those candidates yesterday, but you helped them send a good message.
I'll tell you, they are all great candidates and they all want to unify behind Brad Paff. But to be fair, they're also unifying against the candidate who the Republicans are putting up, a guy named Derek Van Orden. He ran against Ron Kind last time, lost by 20,000 votes. But Pat, and this is not, this should be fiction, and it's not. This is exactly what he's done since that election. He has attended the January 6th insurrection improperly using campaign funds. Can't do that. It's against the rules, the law, AKA. He got in a fight with a 17-year-old library intern at Prairie du Chien Library over an LGBTQ book display, and then proceeded to check out all the books but one because someone was reading it with the intent not to return it. He tried to carry a loaded gun onto a plane in Iowa, and he's now on probation for doing that. And most recently, the 10-year-old rape victim in Ohio, he tweeted out basically that they were lying. And then at the end of the day, when he found out he was wrong, his response was, "I stand corrected." He didn't apologize to a 10-year-old rape victim. He took himself into consideration that he stood corrected. I mean, this is a guy who will make Marjorie Taylor Greene look like a moderate. And to have him from Wisconsin, where we've never had that in our delegation, would really be awful.
Which is really saying something when you consider our delegation includes Glenn Grothman and now Toxic Tom Tiffany. And not that we wouldn't be talking about those races if things were a little less gerrymandered. Goodness knows that they have provided fodder. Scott Fitzgerald for his role in, you know, helping with the, you know, the insurrection through the fake electors, facilitating a room at the state capitol. But again, you know, putting Van Orden in there would be. But make all that look like child's play. I have that sense as well, Congressman Mark Pocan joining us, and then heading off to D.C. for that final passage vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which will have quite an impact and another notch of wins for President Joe Biden. Congressman, it was great to have you here. Thank you so much for the visit.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. As always, appreciate it.
All right. So we, as I mentioned, we just talked to the congressman there. And in our next hour, we will talk on state legislative matters with Evan Goyke, state representative from the Milwaukee area, where, again, you have the need for a functional legislative branch of government. And some people want to work that, and some people would just rather be on TV for all the wrong reasons. We will take a break, and we will talk a bit about the PACT Act, something else Ron Johnson voted against to help veterans and their health after this. You're up north.